Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor will I take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast showed me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. And Lord, I hope that our hearts were stirred just a bit tonight. Help us to just love the Bible that you've given us. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that we have not had to wait for years just to get one book, but we have, Lord, in our possessions, in our homes, multiple copies of your word. Lord, may we be just as excited to read it as those folks were to read the book of John, chapter 3, for the first time. May we not fail to love your word. And tonight, Lord, we want it to instruct us and help us and teach us, Lord, how to live the victory life. And Lord, how we can acquire a bit of a double portion of what your Holy Spirit wants to do in our life, wants to produce through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to take our theme and spend some of the Sunday nights preaching on it throughout January, February, and probably off and on throughout the year. I'm going to spend some time early on preaching on the fruits of the Spirit. We preached last Sunday night on love. Tonight we're going to preach on joy. I certainly could have preached for months on love. An amazing thing. One of the things that I've encouraged our young people to do, and I think, boy, if I can get a teenager to do this, and by the way, many of them have, but if you haven't, you ought to. One of the things that I would encourage our young people to do is take the time to search the scriptures, look up here, to search the scriptures, and to find every place in the Bible where God uses this word love, and to then study it out. You say, well, Brother Jerry, those are scores and scores and scores of verses. Yes, they are. And it's not something you're going to do in one sitting, probably have the time to do. But if I could get some teenagers that haven't done this to do this, and you just decide that this year, I'll tell you what, Brother Jerry, I'll read a little bit of the Bible every day, and then I'll get my concordance out, and I'll look up two or three verses that has the word love. I'll start in Genesis, go all the way to Revelation. And every time I read a verse on love, I'll jot down what the Bible says about it. I will promise you this. You get done with that study, then you will not be easily deceived in your life concerning what is love and what is not love. And so let me encourage you to do that. We're going to talk a little bit about joy tonight. I'm going to name the message this, the Joy King. The Joy King. Because King David, I think, is very deserving of that title. Now, David is a delight. He's just a delight. I love reading the Psalms. I call the Psalms his heart songs. And as a shepherd boy, he perfected his heart strokes while his quill strokes crafted wonderful prose and wonderful praise. When you read the Psalms, you quickly understand that David possessed the joy of the Lord. Now, here's a man who gained God's favor early in life. And all throughout his life, one of the things that stayed consistent was that he possessed the joy of the Lord. If we're going to have somebody teach us a little bit about joy, I can't recommend a better teacher than King David. Some of the things that he wrote about joy in the Psalms we're going to look at tonight. But let me say this. I pray that you truly have the joy of the Lord in your heart tonight? Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is what you Colts fans are feeling right now. And it's a great illustration of it. Happiness is a result of something happening, some outside circumstances that causes you some good feelings. Something outside of your control happens good to you, and so you react by being happy. But the problem with just experiencing happiness as life is that you become a slave to circumstance. If you're not careful, you're happy as long as something good happens. However, in 2 weeks, if the Colts don't win the Super Bowl, you will not have any happiness. And it's amazing how many people live their life this way. You know, how are you today? Well, I'm terrible. Why? Because this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Well, folks, listen to me. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is connected to the words happenings, but joy is not something that outside circumstances produces in your life, but joy is something that the presence of God inside of you produces no matter what the circumstances are in your life. And every Christian here needs to understand and learn and have the joy of the Lord. And I want to teach you some things about that. Or let's together sit at the feet of King David, the Joy King, and let him teach us some things about joy. Preacher, if there's an area of or one of the fruits of the Spirit that I just honestly, when you introduced the thought, when you introduced the theme, when you read the fruits of the Spirit that I really feel like I'd like to have a double portion of, it would certainly be joy. And I'm not picking on anybody tonight, but please listen to me. Please listen to me. Yeah, I think it's sad how many Christians live without the joy of the Lord. I mean, they just don't seem to have any joy. And it doesn't have to be that way in your life. And if you have some joy, let me share this with you, you can have a double portion of that joy. You can live a joyful Christian life. I'm talking about in the midst of sad circumstances. I'm talking about even during setbacks. I'm talking about in financial reversals. I'm talking about in family heartache. I'm talking about in the loss of loved ones. I'm saying no matter what happens on the outside, you can have the joy of the Lord. God certainly wants you to have that. And I think that when the world sees someone that maintains this joy despite circumstances, they look at that and say that is authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity. Brother Jerry, how can I have the joy of the Lord? Let me say this. Number one, David found joy in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. Did you notice that last verse? Isn't there some tremendous verses, by the way, in this psalm? My goodness sakes. But look at the last verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now I'm going to give you some real simple thoughts, and we're going to keep moving, so listen up. Preacher, how do I increase my joy? Here it is. Increase the time you spend in the presence of the Lord. It's just that easy. Increase the time you spend in the presence of the Lord. Now, you and I as Christians, boy, let's not forget what privileges Christ has bought for us. Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, because of the shedding of his blood, because of his victory over death, he has made it available for us to have access to the very throne of grace. Now, you might knock on the door of my office and no one answers, and the door may be cracked and you may peek in and you may see Pastor Jerry on his knees. And you may say he is on his knees. Someone asks you, "What's Pastor Jerry, is he available?" No, he's on his knees in his office, but I promise you I am not in my office when I'm on my knees. That may be where my body is, but that's not where my spirit is. Do you realize that you, as a born-again Christian, have an open invitation from Almighty God to come right into the presence of Almighty God, to come to the very throne of grace? In a very real way, when we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit as our prayer partner to help us pray, He ushers our spirit into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one of the greatest things about praying is where it puts you. Where it puts you. Nowhere in the Bible you find where it says that when we pray, God comes down to where we are. But many places in the Bible, it teaches us that when we pray, we go to where God is. Say, Brother Jerry, I don't understand this. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I understand it either. I'm just telling you that prayer allows you access into the presence of Almighty God. And let me just give you this thought, and I want you to let God do something in your heart tonight with this thought. But if you haven't prayed this week, you haven't been in the presence of God. Just haven't been. Now, folks, we can walk around and just, you know, act like we're befuddled and walk around acting as if God's not a fair God. Why is that Christian so happy? Why does he have so much joy? And why do I have so little joy? I know what it is. If they had all the heartaches I had, they wouldn't be able to smile. I'm a little tired of them smiling around here. But the honest truth is, there's a truth I've found. You find Christians with joy, and you probably are talking to Christians who have spent a lot of time in the presence of God. So if you want to increase your joy, if you want that to be the part of the Spirit of God and His fruits that are doubled and multiplied in your life, number one, David found joy in the presence of the Lord. Let me give you number two tonight. Go over to Psalm 27. I'm going to show you this verse. We're going to look at some great verses tonight. Psalm 27, verse number 6. David found joy in the presence of the Lord, but David also found joy in the presence of the Lord, but David also found joy in sacrificing to the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. And what happens after that? I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Preacher, how come some people seem to have the joy of the Lord and other Christians don't? Well, some people spend time in the presence of the Lord. Some Christians do, and some just don't spend much time there. Some Christians have found out that joy comes from sacrificing to the Lord. And others hold on tightly to most everything that God gives them. They don't want to give. They don't want to sacrifice either of their increase or of their time. And yet, again, I promise you this is true. I have spent my life dealing with Christians and watching Christians and studying Christians and experiencing these things in my own personal life. But you show me that joyful Christian, you know what? I'll show you somebody who is always looking for an opportunity to sacrifice something unto the Lord. I want to say some thank yous. We had a bus that needed to be painted. I watched some men literally sacrifice of their life, of their time, in the last couple weeks, and get out there and get the job done. Now, you may not have been able to be a part of that, and that's fine. But folks, there's constantly things going on here where you have the opportunity to sacrifice a part of your life to the work of God. to sacrifice part of what God has given you so generously to His work. Now, again, I'm not being hateful tonight, but I'm going to tell you, you go ahead and be stingy, but along with stinginess comes sourness. And you go ahead and be selfish, but along with selfishness comes sourness. And what I've found by watching people is that the people that seem to have the joy of the Lord in their life are the ones that have spent quite a bit of time in the presence of the Lord. And the Christians also who seem to have the joy of the Lord in their life seem to have found out that there is joy in sacrificing. Let me ask you teenage girls something. How come this young lady that stood up here seems so happy and you seem so miserable? She lives in a hut. And you're a spoiled little monster that lives here in America. Get way too much, have way too much, and complain way too much. But keep going down that road, because you know what? If you're just selfish enough for long enough, surely you're going to find joy. The happiest Christians in the world are the ones that at some point in their life get up here to an old-fashioned altar and just say, God, I haven't come to this altar to give you this or give you that. I've come to this altar to give you me. Because the greatest sacrifice that you can bring before God is your own life. To say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, you can have it. Wherever you want to send me, I'll go. Whatever you ask me to give up, I won't do it with a martyr spirit, but I'll do it as if it's the greatest thing that I could ever have the opportunity to do. Lord, if you want me to suffer, please let me do that for you. If you want me to sacrifice, please let me do that for you. And it's funny, because those people are the ones that always seem to have such great joy in their life. Let's go over to Psalm 51. Let me show you another one here. 51st Psalm, immediately, most of you understand, this is a psalm of repentance. David found that joy comes from living in the presence of the Lord. David found that joy comes in sacrificing to the Lord. Let me give you this thought. David learned that joy sometimes has to be restored. Look, if you will, in verse 7. I won't read the entire psalm. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Here's a time in David's life where the joy king had lost his joy. Now, I preached a message several years ago entitled Joy Robbers. And there are some things that will rob you of your joy. But let me say this, the most oft-repeated and oft-pointed-out joy robber of all the joy robbers is unconfessed sin. You say, well, Brother Jerry, I understand all of the circumstances that happened in David's life that finally brought him to write Psalms 51, and are you suggesting that something like that has happened in my life? Listen to me very carefully. Most Christians who have lost the joy have not lost the joy because of one gigantic, horrific sin, but because of a whole series of small, unconfessed sins that have piled up and piled up and piled up and piled up. And you know what? Christians with unconfessed sin just don't have joy. Now, preacher, you sound like you know something about this. Yes, I do. You know why? Because there's been times in my Christian life when I've had unconfessed sin, and you know what? I was the most miserable Christian you ever met in your life. You just go ahead and let things build up. I mean, do this. Well, I got by with it. My parents don't know, and my preacher don't know, and I got by with it. Well, how happy are you? How much joy do you have? And you do that, you do that, you do that, and you think you're winning, and the whole time you're just losing. Psalm 30, verse 5, let me read this. For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, can I say this, folks? One of the things that David learned was this. You know what? In order to restore your joy, sometimes you have to shed a lot of tears. You have to shed a lot of tears. It's a wonderful thing when I see a Christian just get tired of living in sin. Some of you may be thinking I'm talking about some prodigal that has left and that we're praying and we hope that they would come back, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Christians inside the church that have just gotten in the habit of being disobedient to God, and it's been weeks, it's been months before, since you have gotten on your knees, and I mean confessed your sins, repented of your sins, and cleaned your heart out. And let me say this, folks, every once in a while, every single one of us just need to have an old-fashioned, weeping, slobbering, get right with God session. Man, don't let those things pile up. Young people, let me share with you how this happens, these little sins of your life. You know what? One man said this, just keep a short account with God. Why is it a good thing to end every day with a time of confession and a time of prayer and a time of cleansing? Because every day we sin. Now, I'm not a part of that sinless perfection crowd. Right before I went to Bible college, a year before I got there, that doctrine started getting into the Bible college I was attending. I missed out on all that. But it started getting in to the Bible college I was attending. I heard the stories. There was a student there that got up on one of the bus meetings to preach and told everybody that it had been 5 days since he sinned. Well, I was shocked. I've gone 4 days, but I've never been able to go five, so I was... What in the world? What in the world? You say, well, Brother Jerry, that's silly. Of course it's silly. Not only do we need to confess our sins because we sin, we need to confess our sins because we are sinners. If somebody believes they've gone days without sinning, it just shows that you have incredible ignorance towards the Bible. Because you certainly don't understand our capacity as human beings to sin in our spirit and to sin in our soul and to sin in our thoughts and to sin in the flesh. The honest truth is there's not a one of us that ought to go one single day, most of us not one single hour, without saying to Almighty God, God, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Now, folks, listen to me. Just get used to confessing your sin. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when He points out little things in your life. And I mean it. I want to help some of you. I really want to help some of you. If you have gone a significant amount of time before you've got on your knees and repented of sin, then you are the Christian with unconfessed sin that I'm talking about. It's a little scary to me. And it ought to be scary because the honest truth is, the more you grow in grace and the more that you overcome some basic things in your life, if you're not careful, just because you've eliminated a lot of the outward sins doesn't mean that you've eliminated a lot of the inward sins. And we're just a mess. We'll get victory in one area. And then you know what? We'll be so proud of ourselves. Next thing you know, we committed the sin of pride. We overcome some things and we grow in some areas, and then you know what? All of a sudden we get judgmental towards those who haven't. Yes, sir. And we sin in that regard. Now, if you want the joy of the Lord in your life, then you know what? Keep a short account with God. Just go to the Lord on a regular basis and say, Lord, you know what? I want to be clean before you. I love this verse. Let me read it to you. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And interesting that this joy comes when we cleanse our heart, when we get right with God. All of a sudden, the gladness that God wants us to have, we have it, and the rejoicing, we're able to do it, and the joy, we're able to shout it. You know why? Because we've got our hearts right with God. I want to move on, but I want to just stop and hit this. Please listen to me. Don't push this off. Don't push this to the side. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now, what are the secret sins of your life? How long have you been involved with them? And isn't it time to just get them right? Let me give you one last thought. Psalm 42, verse 4. Let's go there. David spent time in the presence of the Lord, and because of that, he had the joy of the Lord. David was willing to bring sacrifices to the Lord, and because of that, he had the joy of the Lord. David understood that he was a sinner. And David understood that sometimes his joy had to be restored through repentance and allowing God to clean his heart, and because of that, he had the joy of the Lord. Now, let me give you this last thought. Look at verse 4, Psalm 42, verse 4. Notice this. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now, let me read verse 1 on down through verse 4, and let's put it in context. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now look right up here, and let me talk right to our members. Let me to help you, to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. David, because he spent time privately in the presence of the Lord, he had the joy of the Lord. David, because he was willing to sacrifice his time and his gifts to the Lord, he received the joy of the Lord. David, because he was willing to keep his sins confessed before the Lord, he had the joy of the Lord, which means that David was able to bring this joy to public worship. You know, there's a very interesting thing that happened. Many of these psalms that were written, the Psalms of Degree, were written as, boy, don't miss this, the children of Israel would make their way to the temple to worship. They would sing these things as they headed to the temple together, so that by the time they got to the temple, they were in full joy mode. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, please listen to me. Please listen to me. We need to get to victory in this area. We need to get to victory in this area. This whole idea of showing up to church and then saying, come on, preacher, pump me up. Say something funny so I can laugh for the first time this week. Come on, pull me up out of this muck and this mire of my life. Listen, folks, you shouldn't show up as a mature Christian in that kind of condition to the house of the Lord. You know what? I can't manufacture joy for your life. A song service can't manufacture joy in your life. A testimony can't manufacture joy in your life. Now, we might be able to throw a little gas on a fire that's already going. Man alive, we shouldn't have to get up here Sunday morning and take two sticks and start from scratch, rubbing the sticks, trying to get a spark going. I listen to you as you listen to me. And let me say this, men, we need to get some men and some young men that just decide that they're already pumped up about what the preacher's going to say before he even gets up to say it. I don't want visitors coming in here and listen to a preacher preach his heart out and be sitting in the midst of a bunch of people that just stand there and give him a blank stare. That's just wrong. I'm telling you, it's wrong. Listen, if I come here and I put everything I've got into what I'm doing, why don't you come here and put everything you got in what you're supposed to be doing? I mean, if I'm a lost person, I'm not too impressed with that. There ought to be a joy here. There ought to be a happiness here. I'm not talking about fake stuff. I'm talking about the joy that you bring with you to the worship service, to the public worship service. So, preacher, well, how do I get that? You spend Monday in the presence of the Lord, and you spend Tuesday in the presence of the Lord, and you spend Wednesday in the presence of the Lord, and you spend Thursday in the presence of the Lord. You spend Friday and Saturday in the presence of the Lord, and then you get all of these people that have spent all week in the presence of the Lord in one place, and man alive, look out, something's going to happen. You sacrifice for the Lord, and you sacrifice on Monday, and you sacrifice on Tuesday, and you sacrifice on Wednesday, and you sacrifice on Thursday, you sacrifice on Friday and Saturday, and you know what? That just builds up a whole bunch of joy, and then you get a whole bunch of people that's done that all week long in different ways, in different arenas, in different areas of the church, and man, you get them all in one place and set them down, and you can't hardly contain what's about to happen. You confess your sin on Monday, and you confess your sin on Tuesday, and you confess your sin on Wednesday, and you confess it on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and especially, oh God, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Lord, I don't want to go to your house dirty. I don't want to go to your house dirty. I want to be clean. I want to be right. I don't want to hinder with the sin in my life something that God might want to happen in our service. Oh God, make me right. Make me right for Sunday. And you get a whole bunch of people that, yes, we're frail, and yes, we fail. But you know what? We've brought those things to the Lord. And God has taken our sin, and He's forgiven that sin, and He's given us, and instead of our sin, He's given us the joy of the Lord. And we get all of these clean people who have been in the presence of God, clean people have sacrificed for the Lord that week, clean people who are right with God. And you know what? Preacher gets to preaching, and it doesn't take a whole lot to get you excited. Brother Tommy starts leading us in Amazing Grace, and tears start flowing. You know why? Because you've tasted every single day that week of that amazing grace. Somebody gives up and gives a testimony about a bunch of folks you've never met before and an island that you've never been before. And you know what? God just does something to your heart. And you start saying, God, is there something else I could do? And you live like the Joy King lived. You live like David lived. I would ask you to ask God to give you a double portion of what we talked about tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to spend in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in this matter to properly represent you, to do the things that we ought to do, that we should do, so that we can be the kind of Christians that we ought to be. Thank you, Lord, for that joy that comes as a fruit of your Spirit who lives inside of us. May it fill us, Lord. May it overflow out of our lives. May people in the workplace say, you know what, there's just something different about that man. May the neighbor say, you know what, there's just something different about that family. May friends and acquaintances and folks that we meet in our day-to-day life just look at us and say, I'm not sure why they are the way they are, but boy, I sure wish I had whatever they had. I pray, Lord, that we would show in the midst of a dark world and a cruel world and a sad world, a world that's filled with so much pain and so much bitterness and so much unhappiness, I pray, Lord, that we would be joy missionaries that would represent you properly. Keep us right, Lord. Keep us right. May we spend time at the throne of grace. May we spend time, Lord, in your presence. May we rise to the challenge of every sacrifice that's asked of us. And Lord, may we keep our hearts right before you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Here's the question I want to bring before the invitation. Listen to it carefully. Are you completely, thoroughly right with God? Are you completely, thoroughly right with God? Hey, if not, come get your joy back. Lord, bless the invitation.